भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार चक्रेस्मिन् वर्तमान पुनर्भवा उपलब्धो भवान् अद्य दुर्लभं प्रियदर्शनम्.
It is also by good fortune that I am seeing you. Having obtained this opportunity, I feel as I have taken birth again. Even though one is present in this world to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives, in this material world is extremely difficult. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vasudeva has been imprisoned by Kamsa, and therefore, although present in Mathura, he was unable to see Nanda Maharaj for many years. Therefore, when they met again, Vasudeva considered this meeting to be another birth. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, entitled The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, Text 24. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have heard from Shukadeva Goswami about the joyous celebration of Krishna's appearance in this world in Gokul, Mahaban, as Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and all the Brijabasis celebrate Krishna's appearance. They do not know he is God, but they love him more than God because he's Krishna. Krishna completely captured their hearts even before he took birth. They were in so much longing and expectation for Krishna's appearance. And that feeling of separation, and then after the Brijabasis were in great pain that Nanda and Yashoda had no children. It was Krishna's will to be their child. So Nanda, Yashoda, and the Brijabasis were in deep pangs of separation from someone they didn't even know. When Yashoda Mai became pregnant, the imminent arrival of this child put them in even more intensified state of love. And ultimately, when Krishna appeared in this little infant form, everyone surrendered their minds, bodies, their souls in love. Gopal. This is the beauty of Vrindavan. How could you love anyone more than God? In one sense, it's impossible to love anyone more than God.
But in Vrindavan, it is possible. Because their conception of God is Narayan, the supreme, all-powerful, absolute truth. And they loved him with all their hearts and souls. And Krishna is Narayan himself. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth who has descended from Goloka. Narayan is all powerful. Krishna was just a tiny little helpless looking baby. But they loved him so much, even more than Narayan. So we can imagine the celebration. It's a celebration of the heart. Not just a formality or a ritual. When they were throwing butter on each other and putting turmeric on the cows, dancing and singing with all different musicians, everything was coming from the very core of the love of their heart as an expression of their happiness. That Krishna had come. And Shukadeva Goswami is taking us on such a journey in this Srimad Bhagavatam. First, our hearts are being broken, then our hearts are being elated beyond limits. We're reading about Vasudeva and Devaki, how they're being tortured, and they're great devotees. When we hear about devotees suffering, it makes us suffer. But they were suffering for Krishna. All their children being murdered. Then a few pages later, there's the most joyous festival in all of history. Nandotsav. And just the day after Nandotsav, Nanda Maharaj has to go to meet Kamsa. Of course, he didn't have to directly meet Kamsa, but he had to pay taxes. And while he was there, in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read Vasudev comes to see Nanda Maharaj. It was that little window opening where Vasudev wasn't in jail. Yes? He was going to get put in jail again a couple days later. But that due to Yogamaya's influence, Kamsa became sober for a few days and he became a little kind-hearted. If you could call him that. And he apologized to Vasudeva and Devaki and said, "Yes, I'm sorry. You are free now." But due to bad association, he changed his mind. But by Krishna's grace, during that little window of opportunity where he was free, Nanda Maharaj came to pay taxes. Vasudeva came to see him. And the meeting of these two cousin brothers is being described here in its intimacy and in its depth of love for each other that they had. It is an important element of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in all of our bhakti scriptures, how love of God manifests as deep love for devotees among each other, and deep love in the form of compassion that a devotee has for all beings. The day before, he's celebrating his love for Krishna. And on this day, Vasudeva and Devaki are celebrating their love for each other as brothers. And then sometimes we take our relationships for granted, because that's the nature of Maya, these things that are very important and precious. She covers our understanding of their value so that she can distract us to put our attention and get absorbed in things that really have no value at all. Yes, our jobs, our occupations, our property, all of these material things that we put so much of our heart and life's absorption in. From a spiritual perspective, from an eternal perspective, they have zero value. Their only value, really, from a spiritual perspective, is to what extent they could be used in devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. But they really can only be properly used in devotional service if we're absorbed in Krishna. So tendency is, if Maya Devi allowed us to understand the value of our relationships with other devotees, our relationships with Krishna, then she could have no hold on us. So one of her primary strategies is, even though philosophically, theoretically, we may understand the value of association of devotees, it becomes covered because it's always there. But what about this? This association is always there. I could always chant my rounds. I could always come to the temple. I could always do this. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity I have here. Maya Devi will provide unlimited once-of-a-lifetime opportunities for the rest of eternity. That is how she works, and we think each one is so special. And yet the chance to serve and to have darshan and to pray and to be with Vaishnavas, that we could do any time. But this is very special. Moment by moment, she distracts us. But Vasudev, separation gives us a sense of something's value. When we lose something or we don't have something, we have more of an opportunity to meditate on its value. So imagine what Vasudeva and Devaki went through. For year after year after year, they had no association with any devotees. They were in prison. Their only association was with Kamsa and Kamsa's followers, who were cruel, evil demons. It's the jail guards and like that. It was Kamsa culture all around them. It wasn't bhakti culture. The whole scene around Kamsa was full of anger and envy, lust, and greed. Imagine Kamsa. He imprisoned his own father so that he could take his wealth away from him and his power. And to keep his power, he was willing to murder his own sister. And when he somehow or other understood she wasn't a danger to him, he murdered his own nephews. He was about to murder his own niece. This is the environment of anger and envy and arrogance that Vasudeva and Devaki were living in. And here he gets out and he comes to see his very, very best friend, Nanda Maharaj, and how much he is appreciating that association. is expressing his heart that these moments of association with you is like my taking another birth. Kind of is, because the womb is like a prison. You can't really go anywhere. It's not much light. And when you get out of the womb, it's like getting out of a little prison. You can move around, you can see people, you can interact with people. You know, it's interesting. When a baby's in the womb of a mother, when the baby comes out, the baby's really interacting with the mother immediately, with loving relation. But when the baby's in the mother's womb, the mother's doing everything for the baby. And the mother, from what I've seen and heard, sometimes the mother really has to suffer to keep that baby, you know, to keep that baby in her womb, get sick, all kinds of inconveniences, limitations, and the process of giving birth is oftentimes excruciating and pain. So the mother's doing all for the baby. The baby doesn't even, in the womb, the baby doesn't even know what or who she is. The baby doesn't know what's going on. It's just like in this dark little cell. It's quite interesting. Mother's doing everything and the baby doesn't even know what she is, who she is. So the baby's not reciprocating. Mother's giving everything, no reciprocation. And when he comes out, baby sees the mother and understands, I need your milk, but at least recognizes who it's getting it from. So it's inside, but doesn't know anything about the person. Closest thing. Not only close, but inside you, and they doesn't even appreciate. So Vasudeva is giving this example. And seeing you is like taking birth, being released from the womb of the prison of all the suffering, and now being with my friend. In the Vaishnav or Vedic perception, when we take initiation, it's called second birth. In the Christian conception, when you accept Jesus as your Savior in your life, it's called being born again. So this conception of connecting with God is initiation is connecting with God. Taking the Gayatri Mantra is a very, very deep connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a second birth. It's actually our birth. Diksha is like being born again. It is. But here we find this extends to devotees. By having the association of devotees, it's like being born again. We shouldn't take it for granted. To the degree we actually appreciate and are grateful for the good fortune that Krishna gives us, we could actually benefit from that good fortune. You can eat nutritious food, but if you're not able to digest it, then there's very little benefit from that food. If you can digest it, you get all the benefits. Similarly, when we come before the deities, we chant the holy names, when we come in this association of devotees especially, if we understand how important it is to us, if we recognize what an inconceivable gift of God it is, then we'll be grateful. And then we can actually benefit from that association to that extent. A grateful heart is a heart that could actually absorb, assimilate Krishna's grace in the many forms it takes, especially in the form of a devotee's association. first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme devotees, to not appreciate the devotees. The number one offense to Krishna in his most munificent and merciful manifestation of the holy name. That means we cannot please Krishna if we do not appreciate his devotees. Because it's not what he wants. Mad bhakta puja pyadika. Worship of my devotees is more dear to me than worship of me. That is Krishna's word. So why did Krishna take birth? Why did he appear in his original transcendental form, something he only does once every 8,400,000,000 years? He comes in his original form of Krishna from Goloka. And here he appears simultaneously as the sons of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Why did he appear to them? This is an example of the quality of these great souls. They had such appreciation and love for each other, for the devotees of the Lord. And Vasudev says, even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this material world is extremely difficult. From a perspective of Vasudev having been in prison with Kamsa and not having any association of devotees, from that perspective we can understand how difficult it is to get the association of devotees. But Vasudeva is not just talking about himself. He's actually talking about it as a principle, as a reality of life. This is very important, because we think that association of friends and association with intimate relatives, maybe for Vasudev, he was in prison, but for us, we see it every day. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Paramahamsa Samhita, when we're talking about friends and intimate relatives, it means friends and intimate relatives that really have a spiritual foundation, not just something mundane. It's actually extremely rare. Durlabha manava janma. How rare it is to take human birth. If we see things from a broad perspective, we can appreciate. If we see things from the perspective of where we're standing right now, blinded to the reality of where we're coming from and how the whole universe is working around us, then we can appreciate how rare a fortune we may be having. Yes, brahmacharis living in an ashram, kind of overcrowded. Sometimes rats crawl around you, and you have to deal with so many other devotees. Not as much privacy as you may like. And sometimes you think, God, you know, what's so great about all these devotees all over the place? But what should be recognized is it has probably taken you millions and millions and millions of births without the association of devotees to somehow or other get this chance. And considering millions and millions of births, that means tens and millions, Because in previous yugas, you lived to 100,000 years. So that's one birth. And Satya Yuga is longer than Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, you know, Treta Yuga, you lived, you know, other yugas, 10,000 years. That's one birth. So when we talk about millions and millions of births, that means a lot of years. Maybe hundreds of millions of years it's taken to get this association of devotees. And how long is this lifetime? It's like a little flash. It's a spark. It's like in Diwali, we have these fireworks. They just go... That's what life is. When we perceive it from a broad perspective, out of all the births and deaths we've had, it's just like fireworks. They go in the sky and they make a big. That's life, as they say. Now, the little firework, as he's going up, he's thinking, oh, this is, when am I going to get to the top? Seems like forever. But in reality, it's a flash. So yes, we have this opportunity of association of devotees. We're so much in the moment, we're not appreciating really what it is and how long it has taken to get this association and how quickly it's going to be taken away. And people in the congregation. Yes, we have our work, but work, every birth we have work. There's nothing rare about working to get for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Sex life, rare opportunity. You know, the monkeys, the hogs, the cockroaches. And to give some little more respect, the peacocks and the beautiful green parrots. It's not that only the ugly animals have sex. Every birth you take, you're having sex. What? It's not such a rare thing, such a precious thing. It's every species of life, that's what they do. They eat, they sleep, they work for money. You know, the cockroaches, what's their job? To somehow or other find some food, wherever it may be. They're working hard. The ants are building hills. Everybody's working for somehow or other for survival. Everyone's having sex and everyone's going to sleep. Every birth, it's nothing rare. Sensual enjoyment. You know, everyone's doing that. Nothing rare about that. But Maya makes it appear that this particular enjoyment is something so special and something so rare. But that's what every species of life is thinking. Yes? When the female cockroach sees a male with a nice mustache. She's thinking, when will I ever get this chance again? But it's all over the place. So the human form of life is extremely rare. There's 8,400,000 species. 400,000 are different types of humans. But 8 million species, usually for oftentimes you have to transmigrate through 8 million forms to get to this human life. And then only is there the opportunity for spiritual advancement. It's very rare. And what is the rarest, most precious thing in human life? Durlabha manava janama satsange taraha ebhavos sindure. The rarest thing is the association of devotees. It's taken so long. This association is the door opening to liberation, to prema bhakti. But because it's kind of all around us at the present moment, we just take it for granted. We don't really understand, appreciate, or take advantage of its value. But the reality is at any moment it could be taken away. Padam padam yad vipadam natesha. And if we don't take advantage of it, if we don't appreciate it, just to teach us a good lesson, we may not have it again for many, many births. It's not automatic. Now I'm a devotee, so every birth I'll get devotee association. It's not like that. You never lose your spiritual life, but Krishna will do what's best for you. You didn't appreciate the association this life. Maybe 100 more lives till you get it again. Bharat Maharaj, he had to become a deer to appreciate it. Or if Krishna is really specially merciful to us, he may really crush us so that we actually do appreciate it. That crushing is grace. Because Krishna is seeing from the perspective of the eternal soul in every situation. We're seeing in terms of our physical sufferings and enjoyments at the moment. So there's a very different vision between Krishna's vision of our life, of our existence, and our own. We're just struggling for the moment, and Krishna is seeing us as eternal souls trying to bring us back to Godhead. If it takes 100 million years to bring us back, Krishna's going to plan it out to give us a chance. But he wants us to come back in this lifetime. So it is very precious to have relatives who are intimate, who share our devotion to God, to have friends who share our devotion to God. It is, in fact, the rarest, most precious thing in all of existence. And if we understand how rare and precious it is, then we could easily forgive each other for our mistakes or our differences and everything else. But if we don't understand its value, then we're going to focus more on the very insignificant, superficial, mundane aspects of the association we have with devotees, rather than the spiritual blessing that we have in the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada said, if you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. Krishna told the Prachetas, I am giving you my darshan and giving you all blessings because of your loving friendship with each other. This is a principle that we find here. The two fathers of Krishna, they don't know he's God, but they love him even better than God. And they love each other. And they're so eager to see each other and so eager to serve each other. And they have so much trust in each other. Devaki's in prison. Rohini's pregnant with a child. Vasudeva out of his love because he had such intense trust in Nanda Maharaj. He sent Rohini to live with him. And Nanda Maharaj was taking a risk. If we understand Srimad Bhagavatam from a sociological perspective, Vasudeva's wife is Rohini. Kamsa knows that Rohini is Vasudeva's wife. Kamsa knows all this stuff. He's a relative himself. He's the brother-in-law of Vasudeva. And he has spies everywhere. So for Nanda Maharaj to accept Rohini and take care of her kind of puts him in an awkward position. You know, he has to go and pay his taxes to Kamsa out of fear that Kamsa, if he doesn't pay taxes to Kamsa, it's not that Kamsa was using his taxes like Yudhisthira Maharaj for everyone's benefit. He's just using it for his own evil purposes. So to accept Vasudeva's wife and pregnant child kind of further implicates him with Vasudeva. But Nanda Maharaj was willing to do it because he loved Vasudeva so much. And Vasudeva loved Nanda Maharaj so much, he trusted him like that. They had such a relationship. They were family members, they were friends, they were brothers. When Krishna appeared in the prison cell and told Vasudeva, bring me to Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva was not unhappy. He was just concerned with Krishna's happiness. He didn't complain. He knew that Krishna was God. There was no, what do you call it? No ordinary birth labor pains. She didn't have a second of labor pain. She was pregnant, and then at midnight, how did he come out? It's really amazing. He didn't like come out of some little uterus canal or anything. She's pregnant, she's big, and all of a sudden there's nothing inside, and there he is standing in the sky, looking down at her, fully dressed. With gold and jewels, and forearms, weapons, conch shell, club, lotus flower, chakra. It's not that, you know, those were his birthday presents. Nobody gave it to him. There he was. Incredible. It was Vishnu, his worshipable Lord. As a son. Finally, after all these years, Krishna appears. And then Krishna says, bring me over to Nanda's house. And Vasudeva, he was eager. If this is what will make Krishna happy, this is my happiness. And Devaki also. Now, if Vasudeva, think about it from a psychological perspective. Vasudeva could have complained, God, after all this trouble, finally, you want me to take you over to somebody else? We did, in his previous life, he did so many years of tapasya to get God is his child. After all that tapasya and all the tapasya in this life of being put in prison, he's born and he's asked to go somewhere else. And an ordinary person would probably be envious of Nanda Maharaj, that Nanda Maharaj gets to play with this beautiful little boy who's the love of my heart, and he gets to raise him, and Yashoda Mai gets to feed him milk, and we just sitting here in prison, we don't get anything. Yes? Could be angry at God, could be envious toward each other, but just the opposite. Vasudev loved Nanda Maharaj more than anything or anyone, even before the birth of the child, and now even more, because he was taking care of Krishna. This means the relationship between Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj was completely unselfish. There was no possibility of envy, because their conception was what will make Krishna happy. Vasudev and Devaki were not thinking what will make me happy. They were simply thinking what will make Krishna happy. And Vasudev, without telling Nanda Maharaj that actually I brought this boy to you, he didn't want any credit. He was just asking, how is your two children? Asking about Krishna and Balaram. So their relationship was simply based on Krishna in the center. And how rare that is. This morning during Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja, Radha Kund Prabhu came and gave me a garland from Ranganath and Sri Rangam. One very well-known yoga teacher with his students, Radha Kund, was taking him on a pilgrimage, and they gave Radha Kund this garland to bring back to give to me. So as he was putting the garland on me, I was thinking, this is extremely auspicious, because I'm receiving the Mahaprasad of Sri Rangam on the day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's appearance. Which is actually our most intimate connection with Sri Rangam. So I was thinking that very special blessing, no accident. Happened to just come on this time, and I don't think that Radha Kund Prabhu was planning it in this way. He was just bringing the garland, and he just happened to arrive today. But it is a blessing, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So on the subject of relationships, of appreciation and affection between Vaishnavas, we can speak something on this subject. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his tour of South India. Wherever he went, he was giving people Krishna. The culture of India is so beautiful. People were accepting it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just giving Krishna everywhere he went. Whoever he saw, he would induce them to chant Krishna's holy names. And if anybody, whoever they were willing to chant Krishna's names, Lord Chaitanya would become so overwhelmed with appreciation. According to their particular role, because he was a sannyasi, he would embrace people with tears of love. He would thank them for accepting Krishna. This way millions of people were becoming devotees. When he came to Sri Rangam, took his bath in Kaveri River, and went to see the very historical, ancient form of Ranganathji, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like he did at every temple, He danced and sang kirtan, Mahamantra, the names of Krishna. His voice was so sweet. So mystifying. Oftentimes we read about and hear about his beautiful dancing. We should also appreciate his beautiful singing. Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna comes to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. So when Lord Chaitanya is dancing, it's Srimati Radharani dance. And when Lord Chaitanya is singing, it's Srimati Radharani singing directly. Krishna and Radha, the dynamics of the ecstasy of their love for each other is in one form. And that's what you hear when Lord Chaitanya sings the holy names. Mahabhava. This type of Mahabhava, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, the only three people who understand it is Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else can understand. No matter how many slokas you recite, no matter how many mantras you chant, no matter how many austerities you perform, no matter how perfect you gain self-realization, no matter how pure your heart is, the jiva is simply incapable of understanding the depth of that love. Sri Radha, Madhavendra Puri, and Lord Chaitanya. Only three people in all the material or spiritual worlds that really understand the fullness of the nature of that love. And in that love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing kirtan. And so often he would empower his own devotees to sing kirtan. Mukunda Dutt, Srivas Thakur, many kirtan singers he would. But here is Srimati Radharani herself singing in this temple in South India. That's Lord Gauranga. So when these common villagers, they would hear this voice and they would see the ecstasies of his dancing, it was utterly enchanting, mesmerizing, conquering their hearts. And the word spread, and wherever he would go, it would begin with one or two people seeing him, and soon there would be thousands and thousands of people. When they would see the beauty of his dance and his glance, he would glance upon everyone. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the most beautiful eyes that have ever been manifested in creation. Like lotus petals that extended almost to his ears. So beautiful, so wide. More than just the shape and the form of his eyes, which were not material. They were pure Satchidananda eyes. Incredible. Satchidananda eyes, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, his form. But yet, even the most fallen souls could actually see him. And what came from his eyes? The ultimate supreme compassion of Srimati Radharani was gazing through those eyes. So when that glance hit you, it's like, you know, when somebody looks at you, you feel something. Yes.
You feel the energy of the person. You feel the attention of the person. You can feel the love of a person. You can feel the hate of a person. Right? Through the eyes. The eyes is a window by which we can very much manifest our feelings towards someone. Yes, if a mother doesn't look at her child, the child is very heartbroken. If the mother looks at the child with anger, the child is very afraid. If the mother looks at the child with love, the child's heart melts and feels such protection. That means she didn't do anything. She didn't say anything. She just looked. That's the power of the eyes. It's not the eyes. It's the intention of our consciousness that so powerfully manifests through the eyes. So here is Srimati Radharani and Krishna in one form who've come to the most munificent, and all their love and compassion for a tiny little jiva. That love is just like an unlimited rainstorm of compassion coming through his eyes upon you when he looks at you. What an electrifying moment to have Lord Chaitanya look at you with those beautiful eyes. So we're just giving you a little example of what it's like to be in his kirtan. He's dancing the ecstasies of Srimati Radha Maharani's sattvika bhava. Her eight ecstasies in full bloom are manifesting in his body. The sweetness, the highest, deepest nectar of sweetness is emanating from his voice as he's singing. And then he's glancing upon you. And there's just this inconceivable, unlimited wave of blessings and grace coming through his glance and drowning you. And then he would ask everyone, Hari Bol. That's all he asks. He's giving all of this to you. You're in this kirtan. You're seeing him. You're hearing him. You're feeling him. And then he says, Hari Bol, what do you do? You can't refuse. You start chanting. And then when you start chanting, and he becomes, not only is he loving you and being compassionate and merciful, but then he becomes completely indebted to you because you're chanting the holy names. And he asks you to dance with him. And everyone's dancing with him. And everyone's singing with him. And everyone's crying with him. And everyone's trembling with him. He's just sharing his ecstasy of love of God with everyone and anyone who's willing to just join his kirtan. This is what was happening in the Ranganath temple. And Venkata Bhatta, who was a great Brahmin pujari of Ranganath, when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing and singing, he joined the kirtan, in ecstasy of love, singing and dancing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally, when Lord Chaitanya ended the kirtan, Venkata Bhatta was so overwhelmed. What is the actual result of chanting Hare Krishna, if you're actually chanting properly? The result is you want to serve. Venkata Bhatta, after attaining ecstatic love of God by chanting in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and begged for service. This is bhakti. Impersonalists, sometimes their conception is, we'll do bhakti for some time, we'll get perfection, and then we're liberated.
everything's finished. We're liberated. But for Vaishnav, conception of Srimad Bhagavatam is in that perfect state. There's an unlimited desire to serve and to please the Lord with love forever, forever. Mukti, where everything ends at the time of liberation, is actually Prabodhananda Saraswati, who happens to be the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Kaivalya Naraka. He says that this conception of mukti, where there's no loving service, where there's just the end of the ego, the end of suffering, it is worse than hell to me. I'd rather be in hell than have this liberation, because at least I could serve the Lord in hell. This is his conception. So Venkata Bhatta, after receiving this blessing of perfection and going into ecstasy, he didn't just enjoy his ecstasy, because that's not much enjoyment at all in comparison to what he wanted. He wanted to serve. He fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet and begged him to come to his home. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his genuine service attitude. He wanted to please the Lord so much. The Lord reciprocated and came to his home. Venkata Bhatta washed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Then he took that water and drank it. And then gave that water to his two brothers, Trimala Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati. And they drank it. He gave it to his wife and she drank it. And then he gave it to his little tiny son, Gopal. And he drank it. And that was a very historical moment. Little Gopal was weeping and crying and trembling. He saw the Lord and fell in love with him. He drank his foot wash and felt it on his head. And he was practically unconscious in the ecstasy of love. And like his father, in that love, what did he want to do? He didn't want to just enjoy the love. He wanted to serve the beloved. That is bhakti. We're not concerned with enjoying the love. We're concerned with serving the beloved. Is that not a much higher level of love? If you love someone, to enjoy loving the person is very nice, but it's a much higher level of love when we want to serve and give enjoyment to the person we love. So little Gopal wanted to serve. But what is a little boy, it's 4 or 5 years old or something, what could he do? But there's service for everyone, whoever we are. There cannot be an impediment in our service, because the Supreme Lord does not see how big or small our service is. He sees the sincerity of our service. You know, the father's doing puja to Ranganath. Gopal couldn't do that at that time. But he could massage Lord Chaitanya's feet. And that's what he did. And such a small boy, he probably wasn't such a good massager anyway, from a material perspective. You know, usually massagers have really strong hands. Just a little boy, it's good to see. He would clean, help his mother and father clean up for the Lord, help little chores, massage. But it was with sincerity. It was with love. And this is how Gopal spent his days, just being around Lord Chaitanya and just eager to do any little type of service he could. Any way he could help his father, any way he could help his mother, any way he could help his uncles, any way he could just do anything for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya loved this little boy so much, he would hold him on his lap and embrace him and sometimes bathe him with his tears. And Gopal would do the same thing. And what was Gopal's natural love? It was so totally for the pleasure of the Lord. He was so immersed in making Lord Chaitanya happy that he was in great distress. He wasn't holding on to his happiness. He was only thinking of the Lord's happiness, even if it meant putting him in great distress. This is the example. And how is that? Because Gopal Bhatta loved Lord Chaitanya so much, he was thinking, why did he take sannyas? So difficult. I've heard about his pastimes in Navadvip, where he had a beautiful goddess of fortune as a wife, and he had so many, he had lived in a nice house, and he had such a loving, caring mother taking care of him with such devotion 24 hours a day, Sachi Mata, and he had such good friends like Nityananda Prabhu and Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit and Advaitacharya, and there were so many devotees around. And now he had beautiful hair and he wore beautiful garlands and nice clothes. Now he has a shaved head. He sleeps here and there and everywhere. He just has one kind of a stranger, Krishna Das, as his servant. He doesn't have any friends that he's traveling around with. He's wearing these drab sannyasi clothes. He doesn't know when he's going to get something to eat or not. He's sleeping on the ground in the forest. I don't like this sannyas stuff. Of course, he was eager himself to take sannyas. But he didn't like to see his beloved as a sannyasi. It's too painful. So he would cry. Why am I seeing Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi? He was thinking how unfortunate he was that he was not born to see the Navadvip Leela of Lord Chaitanya as the supreme enjoyer rather than the supreme renunciate. So he would cry. He was absorbed in this state of consciousness. And one day when he was crying like this, he was absorbed in prayer. Why I have not seen the Lord as Navadvip Chandra? Why I'm seeing this very, very difficult situation where he's a renunciate, homeless renunciate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in everyone's heart. So he revealed to Gopal his Navadvip Leela. It was like a dream, but it wasn't a dream. It was a vision. By the mercy of the Lord, he could see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with his beautiful long hair and garlands, surrounded by Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu and Gadadhar. It was revealed to him the pastimes of Navadvip. He was so happy, so absolutely happy. Then suddenly the dream ended. And he felt such separation from that vision, he ran to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was sitting in another room. He ran to him and fell at his lotus feet. And he looked up at the Lord. And there he saw the Lord manifested, his Navadvip form, with beautiful long hair and garlands. All his desires fulfilled. And this was not a vision or dream. This was direct, personal darshan. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his form of Krishna, playing his flute. And little Gopal fell down on his ground and offered obeisances, was crying. Then he looked up, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was again a sannyasi form. And Lord Chaitanya picked up little Gopal and put him on his lap. And because Gopal was crying, Lord Chaitanya started crying. This is the power of bhakti. He was crying so much in love for Lord Chaitanya that he induced Lord Chaitanya. He practically forced Lord Chaitanya to cry just like him in love for him. And they were both weeping on each other. They were both bathing each other as Lord Chaitanya was embracing the boy on his lap. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to keep this vision a secret. But yet, we are speaking about it publicly. Because these kinds of secrets were only... they had a time frame. As long as Lord Chaitanya was in this world. Because he was playing the role of a devotee. And while there in Srirangam, every day little Raghunath would just... little Gopal would follow Lord Chaitanya around, and just any little service he could render, he did. And one day, we read about that historical conversation with Venkatabhatta. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He was a devotee of Narayan. And Ranganath is Narayan. He was worshipping him as Narayan, with pure love and devotion. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased with him, because Narayan and Krishna are the same person. But he wanted to give that deeper braj bhava to Venkata. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he transformed him. He did it in such a humorous way. He was joking, serious jokes, but still, it was. He said, Venkata, Narayan, Krishna, you are worshipping Narayan, but Lakshmi Devi, because Krishna's Leela is so sweet and it is so beautiful, Lakshmi Devi has left Narayan in order to enter into Krishna's Rasa-lila. Why is that? Your Narayan is coming to my Krishna. And Venkatabhatta says, I know you're joking and all of this, but still, there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna. They're the same person, so there's no flaw in Lakshmi to go to Krishna, because they're the same. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I know they are the same. But why is it that Lakshmi was not allowed into the Rasa-lila? And Venkatabhatta, I'm making it very abbreviated. He said, I don't know. Says, as far as I could see, you must be Krishna, so you know, I don't know. And Lord Chaitanya explained, because although Lakshmi is the eternal consort of the Lord, she worships Lord Narayan with power and opulence. Those are the predominating features of Vaikuntha. is supreme spiritual power and opulence. In Vrindavan, the predominating features are sweetness and beauty. And because Lakshmi was not willing to give up her identity as the all-powerful, all-opulence goddess of fortune, she couldn't enter into the sweetness and beauty of Braj Leela. Only by following in the footsteps of the gopis could one. So hearing this, Venkatabhata, he accepted Krishna. He accepted the role of following in the footsteps of gopis. And Lord Chaitanya said, actually, there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna. He said, I don't know Narayan, I don't know Krishna, but I know you. And I surrender to you. So these are some of the beautiful exchanges that Gopal Bhatta personally witnessed. And during the 4 months of Chaturmasya, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living with them, it was so, every day it was a festival. But as the Chaturmasya was coming close to an end, there was great feelings of ecstatic distress in the hearts of the family, because they knew that soon he would go. And then that day came, the end of Chaturmasya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bid them all farewell. And all they could do was cry together. Who will we go to Kaveri to bathe with? Who will we go for darshan of Ranganath with? Who will we go for kirtan, singing and dancing? Who will we cook for? They were just remembering everything that they did with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and feelings of separation. And in this way, they were totally absorbed for the rest of their lives, just remembering those moments. And before leaving, Lord Chaitanya told Gopal that you stay with your parents and take care of them as long as they're in this world. And after they pass from this world, you should go to Vrindavan and join Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. The Lord knows past, present, and future. Because on a physical level, Lord Chaitanya had not yet met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami or told them to go to Vrindavan. But he understood everything, as he always does. So Gopal Bhatta stayed for years. And under Lord Chaitanya's instruction, he accepted Prabodhananda Saraswati, his own uncle, as his guru. And Prabodhananda Saraswati taught him Sanskrit, taught him the scriptures, taught him philosophy of bhakti. And Gopal, when he was became a young man, he became foremost erudite scholar and devotee. And just as Venkatabhata and his good wife were in their last day in this world and they were about to go to meet Lord Chaitanya in the spiritual world, they gave blessings to their son. They said, you go to Vrindavan and there worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then with the name of Gauranga on their lips, they left this world. Gopal went to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Rupa and Sanatan Goswami about him. And they were waiting for him, waiting to meet this incredible personality who had received such abundant blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during South India. They were feeling intense separation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was feeling intense separation from Rupa and Sanatan. And they had never seen each other and they never met. And they didn't have internet. They didn't have Facebook. where they can exchange photos with each other. This is me massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet when I was 5 years old. They never saw each other. They didn't know what each other looked like. They didn't know anything, but they were totally in love with each other. And they were feeling intense separation from each other. This is bhakti. It's beyond all this physical stuff. We don't need internet. We don't need telephones or cell phones. All we need is devotion. All we need is love. Love for Krishna. That could bind us in an inseparable way. So they were feeling such deep separation from people they never met. They just heard about. And it was so real. And finally, after all these long years, Gopal arrives in Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they greeted him with so much affection. And they wrote, Lord Chaitanya was sitting in Gambira, and he was, you know, I have not heard from Rupa and Sanatan for a long time. I wonder whatever happened to Gopal. Did he ever reach Vrindavan? And then a messenger came. Not just push a button and the message goes. In those days, if you wanted to send a message, you had to be serious. You had to find somebody to walk 1,000 miles. After you write it out, not with a pen. You had to sketch it in palm leaves, on scrolls, and sketch out your message, and then get somebody to walk from Vrindavan to Puri to deliver. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received this message that Gopal Bhatta Goswami has come. And we have accepted him as our own brother, and we are happy together. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He was happy to see his devotees together. Machchita madgata purana katiyantash. That when devotees come together, they love to hear and chant about Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy that his devotees were together. They were doing Krishna Katha together. They were doing Hari Kirtan together. They were doing Seva together to Thakurji. They're doing their brothers in Krishna service. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. And we should know that there's nothing more that we can do to make Prabhu Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya happy than following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Narottam Das Thakur saying, we cannot enter into the Vrindavan Leela unless we follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. And this is a very important part of following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Sharing that affection and love for each other centered around devotional service that they had for each other. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. Even though he was so many thousand miles away, he sent gifts. He sent his own kopan. He sent a little sitting place. Sent his own kamandalu, his own little water pot, as gifts to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he sent other gifts to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the others. And he just became, he received the blessings and the love and the friendship of Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami. As time went on, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Jiva Goswami came. He lived. Very briefly in their loving relationships with each other in Vrindavan, we find they have their bhajan kutirs. And in Sanket, between Nandagang and Bharasana is one of the bhajan kutirs of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It's a hole underground. In yatras of the past, we used to go there and every devotee would go in the hole. But now there's so many. The whole yatra would be standing in line to get in the hole. Because only one person could go in at a time. You crawl. You can't stand up. You have to crawl on your hands and knees like a little baby to get down in there. And then you can only sit in there. You can't stand up. There's no windows, cross ventilation. Just a little hole in the ground, a little cave, underground cave. And he would, for months and months, he would be down there doing his japa and doing his smaranam, his meditation. And Krishna, Radha, doing his seva. How the Goswamis lived in Vrindavan. He left the luxurious opulences of Sri Rangam to live in that hole. But that was Vrindavan. It wasn't just a hole. It was a hole in the dirt of Vrindavan. Higher, that little hole was more opulent than all the treasures of Vaikuntha. That's the way he was saying it. And he traveled at the Gandaki River. He received Shalagram Shilas. He had 12 Shalagram Shilas that he brought back and worshipped in Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami had Radha Govinda, Sanatan Goswami had Madan Mohan, Madhu Pandit had Radha Gopinath. Rupa Goswami gave Jiva Goswami Radha Damodar a little later, perhaps. And he was immersed in the love of the gopis, worshipping Krishna. A wealthy man came to Vrindavan and was giving jewels and crowns and clothes to all of the different murtis of the Goswamis. And he gave to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami at that time was thinking that I want to offer all these beautiful things to you, Lord. But in the Shalagram Shila form, it's so limited what I can offer you. It was on the day of Narasingha Chaturdasi. He prayed, "My Lord, just as you came out of a stone pillar to manifest your beautiful form to Prahlad, how much I could serve you if you come out of this transcendental stone of the Shalagram Shila to manifest your form." Put his shalagrams to rest. And the next morning he went to take his bath in Yamuna and get water, collect water from Yamuna to bathe his shalagrams. And when he opened the basket where his shalagram shilas were kept, the Damodar Shila had expanded his form into a beautiful threefold bending form. Beautiful. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was in ecstasy. And what was the first thing he did? He wanted to share his joy with his brothers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. This is bhakti. This is what pleases Krishna, when we want to share our fortune with each other. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami saw that deity, and they were all weeping and crying in ecstasy. The Sambandamurti Madan Mohan the Abhideya Murti Radha Govinda, the Prayojana Murti Radha Gopinath, they all could see that all three of these deities were manifested in the one form of Radharaman. He was the culmination of all of the deities in this one little form. He was smiling so sweetly. He even has little teeth and such super fine features of his fingers, his lips and his eyes and his feet, his toes. Nobody carved him. Self-manifested by Krishna's own sweet will. And because he was found in this place just close to the Nidubhan, where Sri Radha and Krishna have their divine leelas, where they rest together, where they perform Ras Leela together, where Srimati Radharani gives the ultimate pleasure to Krishna, and Krishna gives the ultimate pleasure to Sri Radha at Nidubhan. And it was right there that the Murti manifested. So they named the Murti Radharaman. He became the life and soul of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Along with Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Gopal Bhatta Goswami wrote a book on the actually the Satsandarbhas. Jiva Goswami, I believe, it was originally written in an less systematic way by Gopal Bhatta Goswami in codes. And on Gopal Bhatta Goswami's inspiration, Jiva Goswami wrote the Satsandarbhas, which are foundational basis of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, of which our dear Nityananda Prabhu is helping Gopi Puranadana Prabhu to translate. And such good fortune. He's also coming from that Srirangam area. He's also from the Ramanuja Sampradaya previously, so he's definitely the appropriate person. And one day Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Radharaman, and he was feeling a transcendental guilt in his heart. He didn't feel qualified to be worshipping Krishna. He was thinking, it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that saved me. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has given me everything. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is my life, my soul. His causeless mercy has brought me here and given me everything I have. It's given me the association of Rupa and Sanatana and Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami. It's given me the Seva Kunj, the Nidubhan, the Nandagam Barsana, Shri Giri Govardhan. Gopal Bhatta Goswami also had a Bhajan Kutir at Radha Kund. It's given me Radha Kund, Shama Kund. It's all by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And my mother and father, before I left, they told me I should go to Vrindavan and worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he was thinking this way, Radharaman understood exactly his heart. So right in front of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's eyes, he saw Radharaman transform into the beautiful Swarup of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya smiled upon Raghunath, or Gopal Bhatta Goswami, smiled upon him And through his words and his glance and his infinite grace, he assured Gopal Bhatta Goswami that I am Sri Radharaman and I am pleased with you. And then his form again became that of Sri Radharaman. His life and his soul. Today is also the disappearance day of Ramchandra Kaviraj. But we are out of time. In fact, we are 1 hour and 5 minutes late, according to the rules of the temple. But I'll say something. Ramchandra Kaviraj was a disciple of Srinivasacharya, who was the foremost disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We know the story how Srinivasacharya, he heard from his father, Chaitanya Das, all about Lord Chaitanya and his associates. He longed to meet them. So when he came, when he became a teenage boy, a little older, he immediately left home to go to Navadvip. To Puri. And just as he was traveling to Puri, he got the news that Lord Chaitanya had left the world. He fell to the ground and started ripping his chest open and tearing his hair out. He decided he would just enter fire. There's no reason to live if Lord Chaitanya is gone. But Lord Chaitanya appeared when he was unconscious and told him, you should go to Puri and take shelter of Gadadhar Pandit and learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So he went, and there Srinivasacharya, he learned, he was supposed to learn. He met Gadadhar Pandit, who was weeping in separation of Lord Chaitanya. He said, how can I teach you Srimad Bhagavatam? You have to read it. And all the pages of the Bhagavatam have been washed away by the tears of my love. And Lord Chaitanya's love, because every day Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar for hours would read Srimad Bhagavatam together. So you have to go back to Bengal to get a copy. So he went back and he met Narahari Sarakar and so many other great saints, Abhiram Thakur. And when he was on his way back to Puri with the new Bhagavatam, again, we shouldn't take things for granted. Now we just go to the gift stall and gift shop or any railway station practically and we just buy a Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you don't want it, some devotee will come up and try to convince you to take it. So we can take it for granted. But it's the same Srimad Bhagavatam that Srinivasacharya walked hundreds and hundreds of miles to get and waited months and months to have it made. It's the exact same Bhagavatam. Even better, because it has the commentaries of all of our acharyas through Srila Prabhupada's love. What a gift. We just let it sit on our shelf. When he came to the outskirts of Puri, he heard that Gadadhar Pandit had left. And again, I will enter fire. Then Gadadhar Pandit appeared and said, go to Vrindavan. Study from Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. He went all the way to Vrindavan. Met various great acharyas on the way. Took him a while. When he was at Vishram Ghat, taking bath in Mathura, he got the news that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had left. And then they appeared to him and said, you should study under Jiva Goswami. And you should accept Gopal Bhatta Goswami as your guru. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami took Srinivasacharya before Radharaman and offered, he is your property, he is yours. This was the consciousness of a guru. Not that the disciple is mine. The disciple of a guru in our Gaudiya tradition is to simply offer the disciple to Krishna through parampara and to train the disciple to love Krishna on Krishna's behalf through parampara. So Srinivasacharya lived with Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and the love between the Goswamis is Gopal Bhatta sent him to Jiva Goswami for teachings. And there Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda became most intimate loving friends and brothers in Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur was the disciple of Lokanath Goswami, Shyamananda, Hriday Chaitanya, and Srinivasacharya Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But in Lord Chaitanya's service and knowing the will of their gurus, they were one in heart. They were absolute God brothers in the deepest sense of their hearts because they understood the love, the will of their gurus. Jiva Goswami sent them all back. They went to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, to Raghunath Das Goswami, to all these different Goswamis to get their blessings. To bring the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. On the way they were stolen by King Birambir. And Srinivasacharya stayed to try to find them. And he sent Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda to their places in Khetri Gram and Orissa. And there Srinivasacharya, he gave pure bhakti to the king, who was a dacoit. And in doing so, the entire kingdom became devotees. And he initiated the whole kingdom. This is power. And it's described that one day he made his base in Jajigram, which is not far from Srikanda. In Srikanda there was a very great devotee who was mentioned several times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srikanda describes Lochan Das Thakur was from there. The two brothers, Mukunda Sarakar and Narahari Sarakar, and Raghunandan Thakur, the son of Mukunda. And it always says Chirajivan. He was one of the very, very prominent devotees of Sri Kanda. And he had a son named Ramchandra, who was a very great scholar, very great Brahmin. And according to some of our scriptures, he was a brahmachari. And some say that he was actually getting married by the arrangement of his parents. And the marriage procession was going by Jajigram, where Srinivasacharya was sitting. And Srinivasacharya started talking out loud so that Ramchandra could hear, saying he has a noose, a rope around his neck, and he's celebrating it. Now that doesn't apply to all of you. But Srinivasacharya just knew exactly who Ramchandra Kavi was and what his mission was in life. So when Ramchandra heard this, he went and surrendered to Srinivasacharya. And that was the end of everything else. He became his dearmost disciple. And when Narottam Das Thakur wanted to celebrate this first Gaur Purnima festival in Kethari, he contacted Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Goswami, and all the others. And Srinivasacharya came with Ramchandra Kaviraj to make plans for this Gaur Purnima festival. And Srinivasacharya, as soon as Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur met, there was such a connection of their hearts. They became such deep best friends in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srinivasacharya entrusted his foremost disciple under the care of Narottam Das Thakur. And they became like the most intimate, loving brothers for the rest of their lives. Ramchandra went to Vrindavan, and he was such an incredible poet. He read some of his beautiful songs and poems before Jiva Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, and Jiva Goswami conferred upon him the title Kaviraj. It was at that point he became Ramchandra Kaviraj. In those days, everything was taken very seriously. Now we just call anybody Kaviraj if they... But it was conferred upon him, this title. Jiva Goswami gave Narottam the title Narottam Das Thakur Mahashoy. Gave Srinivas the name Srinivas Acharya. Gave Ramchandra Kaviraj. These were very profound gifts that all the devotees recognized their super incredible qualities. They were given these titles. It wasn't just a ritual. And when people called him Srinivas Acharya, their hearts understood. From the perspective of Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Lokanath Goswami, he is Acharya. He is Kaviraj. And his younger brother was Govinda Kaviraj. It's a beautiful story about him also. We sing his song, Bajahure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanada Vindare. Beautiful song was written by Ramchandra Kaviraj's younger brother, Govinda, who he brought to the path of pure bhakti. And to get back to the verse about Nanda and Vasudev meeting, the love between them. When Narottam Das Thakur heard about the disappearance of Srinivasacharya, he was beside himself. And a little later, when he heard the story about the disappearance of his dearmost best friend, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Narottam Das Thakur just went into the forest in love and separation, crying out the names of Krishna and crying out the names of Krishna's devotees. And very soon after that, by his own mystical arrangement, he departed from the world. Just to show us how devotees of the highest level, not out of material sentiment or attachment, but out of ecstatic love, they see Krishna so much in each other that they can't live without each other.
That is the mood of Nanda and Vasudeva. That is the spirit of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the gift of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. And this evening is Ratayacha et Gat Kopar. Please, everyone, come if possible.